All right, so I keep talking about how the Letterman podcast is brought to you by the Hello Deli, Rupert G and the Hello Deli. Rupert, why in the heck would you sponsor the Letterman podcast?
Well, it's about Letterman, and of course, you know, throughout the 22 years of our relationship with Dave, we love him. So I would sponsor anyone who loves the show.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we appreciate that very, very much. Now, for those who don't know, who haven't been down to the Ed Sullivan Theater, you are actually right inside the Ed Sullivan Theater. The stage doors are literally right behind us here, how to get in here. For years and years and years, you have served delicious food to those who worked for Dave and now folks who work for Colbert. Yeah. What's been one of your most popular sandwiches?
Well, one of the most popular is a Paul Schaefer. And
that's my favorite. What do we got here?
Here it is.
What do you get on a Paul Schaefer?
Well, it's got avocado, lettuce, tomato, honey mustard, and turkey on a wrap.
And it's on a wrap?
Yes.
It's not because Paul Schaefer's good at wrapping. That's not why we chose that, right?
No. It's just a healthy sandwich.
It's just a healthy sandwich? Yes. All right. Well, there's the Paul Schaefer and lots more. There's a Colbert. There's a Letterman. There's a Brian. Which Brian? Who's Brian?
Brian Tetta.
That's from Brian Tetta.
Do you know Brian Tetta?
God bless Brian Tetta. He's going to come on the show. We haven't had him on the show yet.
Oh, but yeah. I knew him since he was an intern here. And he's moved on to bigger and better things. He's the executive. Currently, he's the executive producer of The View.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. He's big time now.
And you were around when he came here as an intern.
That's right.
The entire Letterman run at CBS, I mean, the secrets that you have inside that head of yours, you were the counselor, you were the friend, you were the, you served them food. Oh my gosh, you were a member of the family.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was a blessing.
Thank you very much for sponsoring the Letterman podcast. We appreciate the heck out of you, Rupert.
My pleasure.
La, 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 la.
Welcome once again to the Letterman podcast. My name is Mike Chisholm, and to the delight of most, I brought Candace Chisholm back. Hi, Candy.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Is this number three?
Three.
The number three for you.
Yeah.
Being the co-host of the Letterman podcast and automatically making it so the entire audience wishes you hosted the show.
Stop.
That's what happens.
Stop.
That's what happens. We have had you on the show every time there has been a New York excursion. Every time we or I have gone to New York, you have been the first guest back.
So I'm wearing my New York hat today.
Yeah, did you just get that New York hat?
I did.
Did you get it?
New York.
You sure did. That was quite the trip.
It was a very, very fast, whirlwindy trip, but
it was. No. Just stay there. Stay there. Just put the microphone.
But it was as always. The only thing that I didn't like about it was leaving.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Harder
and
harder to leave every time.
Because at the end of the day, we were there. We were only there, really, when you combine it all, like 3 days. And it was hard to leave. And I mean, you know, the thing that I love about our trips to New York, and see, it used to be when we would leave New York, like New York has called to us since we were like, we love New York. It's by far our favorite American city.
Before we even married.
Oh yeah. Long time. Like we both growing up, New York has just had that magnet. Like so many people around the world, New York just has a magnet to certain people. We are definitely those people. Mm-hmm. I can tell you anytime that we've ever gone to New York, we haven't wanted to leave because of the place of New York. New York itself mm-hmm. has a pulse. It's alive. But what I love now, every time we leave New York, the reason that it's so hard to leave is because of the people.
I was just saying, because we have make more and more friends,
yeah.
I think, than anything. I think that's the experience, too, is, you know, where cities start to feel like home.
Yes.
And that's, you know, I ran into people and they're like, oh, I didn't like New York at all. And I never understood that. But
me
then
either.
The more and more people that we fall in love with in that city.
It makes it even that hard, that much harder. Yeah, and it was an incredible trip. We're going to talk about it. Now, hopefully a lot of the folks here who are watching this show have already watched the celebration for Rupert G and for Mei Chin on the Letterman official channel. Because we're going to be talking about that party. We're going to be talking about that here. We're going to do a deeper dive Candace's perspective is one that I always love throwing out to the masses, not just because she's, you know, shinier and much, much, much easier to listen to or watch than I am.
Stop.
But because she comes with a unique perspective of things and the Letterman of it all, she has a different perspective with it than I do. Yeah. And it's fun to watch you actually coming into the world as well. There were a lot of folks there who you met who were really excited to meet you. Probably to wonder what kind of person would have the pity, the patience, and the wherewithal to be married to me. But seriously, there's a little bit of curiosity there. I think a lot of people were curious about that.
That you're not just in your mom's basement and only come out once every couple of weeks and totally single. You mean that?
Why did you marry me? I'm just, no, I, yeah.
Person, but I think
I'm not that person.
You make it sound like you think other people think you are.
Yeah. Perhaps that might be part of it. But anyway, so this started, you know, we've been talking about how Rupert and Mayor have sold the deli. And, you know, I've been saying we've got some answers. We do have some answers this episode, and we will talk about that a little bit now. The first thing I'm going to say, though, is hello-deli.com is not closing. So if you are looking for Late Show with David Letterman merchandise, as long as Rupert's got the merch, he is selling it on hello-deli.com. There might be some changes to the site itself and whatnot coming forward. But right now, if you want to get any Late Show with David Letterman merchandise, and I think there is still might be some Rupert G merchandise, but that night at the party, they cleaned out a lot of those shirts gave them away in the trivia contest. There might be some Rupert shirts left. Check out the site, see what's available, and go to hello-deli.com. And
even more important now to have that website, because now you don't have the store anymore to go to.
That's right.
To get your stuff.
Yeah, we saw the deli close. Like Candace and I were helping with the last parts of the setup. We were bringing some drink, literally emptying out the drinks that he had left to serve at the retirement party in the Ed Sullivan Theater. Pretty crazy. We're gonna bring it back here. Rupert and I were talking about a couple of months ago, anyway, a few months ago, and I said, "Oh, is there going to be a thing? Is there going to be a thing that was done?" And I hope I'm not, I don't think I am telling tales out of school by revealing this. But Rupert was just like to me, you know, I think we're just going to run off into the sunset. I think they're not going to make any real big deal about it. Last year when the city of New York, you know, celebrated the Hello Deli, that was a big deal. And a bunch of the staff were down there. Paul was there for that. And he thought, you know what, we're just going to run off into the sunset. So I was like, oh man, I don't know if that's a good idea. Thank goodness for Walter Kim and the official Letterman channel. You know, he had found out that Rupert wasn't really going to the deli anymore. And I think he wanted to do another segment with him. And so they started talking, and this is something that Rupert told me, which touched my heart beyond measure. He said that in regards to get togethers for the Worldwide Pants staff, the Letterman staff, it was mostly Rupert said that Walter had said that they were only happening when something sad was happening, like when somebody passed away. Like you think of our boy Shecky, that was the last time there was sort of a reunion. And he had said, we need an excuse to get together when something good happens. We need something good to happen so we have an excuse to get together, rather. And Rupert said, okay, well, let's do it then. Mm-hmm. And Walter and his team, I'm just saying Walter and Nancy and whoever else was a part of, put on, I would say, the perfect event. Mm. I mean, you were there. What did you think as far as retirement parties go and knowing what you know about the Letterman community? I mean, perfect, right?
Are we jumping ahead to the party?
Well, we're not quite, but okay. I we'll get to it. But to,
yeah, I just on like, I will go into more detail.
Oh, we will. Oh, absolutely.
But I think it was exactly the way it needed to be.
Yeah.
Because of who Rupert and May are.
Yes.
You know, it was fanfarish, but in the sense of still that home, because they're extremely humble people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a beautiful party that highlighted the beauty of them.
Yes. But at the same time was a reunion. And I mean, seeing all these people get together, and I'll tell you, it was surreal seeing some of these people going into the theater for the first time since May 20th of 2015. Like, it was cathartic for
and
some
I was
people.
Actually impressed with that, because I have to say, like, I left employment and I wouldn't be going back in and hugging everybody, because I, you know, it just, that you could tell the family aspect is pretty it's a big awareness within that community.
Yeah.
And I don't know that, I mean, I don't know, maybe that is in all TV. I'm not sure, but it for somebody like me, an outsider looking in, I found it to be really beautiful and a little shocking.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, like just because you hear things about that industry that can be pretty cutthroat,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it's a very extremely competitive industry.
Yep.
And, you know, I feel that could impede what I would have seen maybe. And maybe, I don't know if I felt like that what might happen, but it certainly didn't. And it was a nice surprise.
That just reminds me of one of the concepts of the Larry Sanders Show, was the idea of it's a group of people who love each other, but show business gets in the way. And I think that that's a really neat, you could tell that show business certainly didn't get in the way that night. In fact, that we even saw, like, you know, bonds that might have been broken reformed, and there were some really cool moments, and being there was an extreme honor. The trip came together very, very quickly. You know, I was looking, in, you know, a month ago, we didn't exactly have the date, you know, or just over a month before, I should say, we didn't have the date solidified. And with what Walter and his group put together, it was an unbelievable event, put together very quickly. And well, I mean, hopefully you've all seen the result of, they did a really good job, you know, capturing the essence of the evening. So you and I decided, okay, yeah, we're going to make this thing happen. We're going to go 3 days to New York and pack in as much as we possibly can. And Letterman related, obviously, but also that balance between us trying to find some non-Letterman stuff to do. Success?
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. And it was definitely Letterman heavy.
Oh, yeah.
But in times past, that probably would have, I probably would have been a little bit more. This is what was interesting to me. At times past, that probably would have been like, oh, like, but I didn't get to see and I didn't get to do. Each time we go to New York, it feels more and more, like I say, like home. And this time it felt like this was another part of our home. And we were just going there, and then we'll be back in a bit. Like, it didn't feel like I had to do all those other things, because right. It just felt like we lived there
and
was part of a community.
It's becoming something that's becoming a constant.
Yeah.
Our lips to God's ears. I hope that's the case. I certainly hope that's the case. Because yeah, it was lovely. We had a bit of an adventure getting down there. Our goal always, I think we've talked about this in the previous podcast, we like, when we go to New York, we like to take the red eye, because
sleeping on planes is so fun.
We like to hit the ground running. The idea of getting to New York, flying all day, getting to New York just to go to a hotel room at 9 o'clock at night, isn't super appealing.
It's so normal, and we don't do that, clearly.
No.
That's what normal people do.
I guess so, but we like the idea of flying all night and then hitting the ground at, you know, well, the plan was 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And then we got a full day in front of us before we have our first night in the hotel. And so that was the plan. Kind of the plan sort of didn't happen. Do you want to quickly talk about really quick what happened with the travel?
You know what I'm going to talk about is the fact that normally when we do travel, I am the travel committee.
That's true.
I look after all of our flights. I look after our hotels. I enjoy it. I love looking for deals. It's cathartic to me, but this was such a special event that we decided to actually go through the call center of the airline.
And I'm sure it'll come out before this, but let's keep it classy for now.
Let's keep it classy, yeah. And so, because it's like, you know, I didn't want to screw it up because, of course, coming from a small town in Western Canada, we don't have a direct flight over. We had to pedal jump.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I said to Mike, like, call the call center and get somebody to do this professionally for you. I had to caveat that because he screwed up. Plain and simple, because he...
Not Mike, the professional.
No, not Mike, the professional. Sorry, professional screwed up. So the individual who booked it, he booked it too close together. And so we had a bit of a delay, but it wasn't like a delay. It was just, there was an IT issue in...
Our flight out was about 40 minutes delayed.
Was it 40 minutes?
It was about 40 minutes leaving.
Yeah. So anyways...
But it didn't have a delayed on the screen or anything like that. It was like, oh no, you're going on time. It was supposed to board, and then 20 minutes later we hadn't boarded
yet.
Boarding took a long time. Yeah.
So long story short, we missed our connection, and well, but before that, we landed. We still had I believe it was 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was time.
There's about 15 or 20 minutes. However, the pilot of our plane said, if you are connecting to Toronto, which is what we were doing, or Edmonton, which is some other folks on the plane, sorry, to run to your gate. And so we were like, okie doke. And we even sort of like got in front of other people. Can you excuse us? You know, did the whole thing. And then we like just ripped it over there, much to my chagrin, even though I've been on a health journey, realized cardio hasn't been a part of it. I was dying, bringing up a lung. Yeah. And we got to our gate. The door was still, the gate was still open. The door was open. There wasn't anybody there. Mike starts to go down the causeway. And she's like, oh, no, it's
the plane door still open. Still open. Absolutely.
And we're like, we're here. And she's like, nope, close the door.
Yeah.
Well,
she didn't even close the door. She walked over and said, oh, let me go see. Looked at a screen and
said no.
That's when we realized that they gave our seats away.
They gave us.
Yeah.
So we, you know, the problem was, is that, you know, we were tight on time and normally we wouldn't have, we were tight with events because this is such an event heavy trip. So we went back to their guest center, weren't met with a lot of love at first.
So like, oh yeah, we rebooked you. You're going to get to New York
at 4 p.m.
The next day.
After staying in that airport for
Another
18 hours.
Another 18,
Like in the airport.
Yeah.
With no hotel because it wasn't their fault and no vouchers, no food, nothing.
Yeah.
Bigger problems in the world. So I'm not trying to complain about
that. No, but, and immediately I'm crestfallen because at 4 o'clock the next day, we were supposed to be in the VIP line to go to see Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
And
was not budgeable.
No, obviously they're not. Yeah. And so, and they were like, oh yeah, no problem. We just rebooked you on this. No problem at all. And immediately Candy is on her phone looking for alternate flights from the same airline and finds two or three different ones that get us there. One got us there at 2:00, one got us there at 11:00. And, they were like, they were not helpful. They were like, no, we solved this problem
until
next in line.
We asked for a supervisor.
And then we asked for a supervisor. We asked to elevate it. I was devastated because there was some Colbert potential magic there that did end up happening. We're going to get to that just now or soon. But that would have been completely gone. Asked to speak with the supervisor. The supervisor didn't really help, but a gal came with the supervisor, and it turns out she was a lead there. She was a supervisor as well, but just in a different department. And she heard our story. She saw that how devastated I was, and she goes, well, tell me why. And I'm like, well, I said, okay, it's complicated. And it turns out she's a huge Colbert fan. And when she found out that there was an opportunity here, she went to work. And yeah, she absolutely, oh my God, did she ever take an interest in us, and she went for it. Her name's Michelle. Michelle, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. She went above and beyond. But she made it right for this airline that
restored my faith in that airline.
100%. We would fly them again because of her. So anyway, long story short, she figured it out for us. We ended up getting to New York at 11 a.m.
Yep. Different airport. So
yeah. Good thing we checked our
didn't
luggage.
Check any bags, which is a big deal for Mrs. Chisholm.
Going Mrs. to New York. Chisholm comes prepared usually.
Well, going to New York. I mean, you know, I have like outfits planned. Mm-hmm. I need to look cute all the time. Mm-hmm. And you said we can only take a carry. Well, you didn't say that we can only take a carry on. You highly advise we only take a carry on because just the how fast we needed to be. And had we not, we would never have seen that because we didn't even end up at the same
airport. We would never see our airport. Again,
we were supposed to be into JFK. We ended up changing airplanes 8 times. And JFK wasn't even...
We ended up in LaGuardia.
Saved us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I will do that again.
So there's another part of this story is that we have... we actually had somebody coming with us to this on this trip. One day I'm sitting there texting. We're with our friends, Mike and Sam. Sam is she's a phenomenal photographer that's in our life. We're having fish and chips with them. And we do this. We try and go for lunch every Friday if we can as couples. We just have a great time when we do that. And I happen to be texting back and forth with Walter from the Letterman channel. And, you know, we were telling them about the trip that was coming up and all that. And Sam was like, oh, do they need a photographer? Turns out they're from Britain. They're from England. And she was going to go to England the same time that we were going. And she's like, oh, do they need a photographer? I'll come with you to New York. It'll be great. I'll stay there for a day or two and then I'll just keep on going. I'll just use it as a, like a, like a stopover. And I'm like, are you serious? And like, Sam is phenomenal. And you're going to see her photographs throughout this. I'm going to overlay them because I can do that now. I can overlay photographs. So if you're not, if you're listening to this episode, this might be one you want to look at the YouTube or the Spotify video version of it. But anyway, I'm like, are you serious? And she goes, yeah. I'm like, well, okay. And so I messaged Walter. I'm like, hey, weird question out of the blue. Do you need a photographer? Long story short, he's like, yeah, bring her. I'm like, all right. I highly recommend anytime you go to New York, if you could bring a professional photographer as your friend with you, go ahead and do it, because boy, did she take some amazing shots of Candy and I. Holy smokes. We have an album worth of photos, and we'll show a smattering of them here, but my word, was it ever great having her there. So we get there at 11 a.m. on the Thursday. We meet up with Sam. Where's the first place that we went? What did we do?
We started walking through Times Square, I think it was.
Is it Times Square?
She was staying about 5 minutes away from us. Yeah. She was at the W. We were at the time in Manhattan. And then, yeah, we just started walking through Times Square.
Yeah.
We had plans of a bunch of things, but then because we got waylaid by a few hours, we decided to sort of...
Yeah, we truncated.
Yeah.
Yep.
Truncated, that's a good word.
Thank you.
Because we have to be back for Colbert for 4.
Yeah. So we mucked around a little bit. Sam took a bunch of pictures already. It was really good.
Lunch.
There we go. Where did we end up going for lunch?
Stardust Diner.
The Stardust Diner. If you haven't been to the Stardust Diner, and it was cool. It was just serendipitous because there was not a time. We passed the Stardust Diner. The Stardust Diner is, it's a Broadway diner. It's literally a diner that has this amazing food. I would make it akin to the diner in Pulp Fiction. That Vincent goes to with Mia. Very, very similar, except instead of like Buddy Holly's and all that, all of the waiters and waitresses are Broadway level singers.
Phenomenal.
And they're singing the entire time, like, and they're singing as they serve you.
Yeah, they've got the microphone tucked under.
Yeah.
Like our wait, you should do the video if you can overlay.
Yeah.
Our server, she had the microphone tucked under her and was bringing us our drinks and singing into it while she was putting our drinks down.
Hamilton and Grease and I mean, I forget all the other ones. Little Mermaid. So, yeah, like Disney stuff and all these show tunes. Phenomenal. While you're eating amazing food. And so we went to the Stardust. Here's the thing. We walked right into the Stardust. Okay. The rest of the trip, we passed this place, I don't know how many times.
And there was over a dozen times.
Always the lineup down the block.
Down the block.
We just walked in there.
To the point of where we were like, did we butt in front of people?
Yeah, we didn't, but we thought we might have. Anyway, so that was fantastic.
It was fun to take her to that too, because it was such a New York, like we didn't have any time to go to Broadway.
Yeah.
Which I love. But we just didn't have time for a show. So it was such a expedited version, an expedited version of that, to be able to take her to that. So much so, in fact,
is expedited a word?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Well, it is for expedia.
It is now. It is
expedia
now.
I should take it on. I should TM that.
Yeah, there we go.
No, actually, I bet you that would be expedited is a great word for that.
Right.
Expedited for us.
Yes.
So she, so much so that she was like, I would go back there. Do you want to go back there? Should we go back there like a few times?
And it wouldn't, which it, was we such couldn't, a cool experience. It was too, way, way, way too crowded.
Yeah,
so we had great food there. And then it was off to Colbert. We had, you know, when you're in the VIP line, you get a very specific instruction. Thanks to Tom and all of his people who work for Colbert. They used to work for Late Show. Now they work for Colbert. Thank you very much for creating that hookup. Everyone who's involved, you know who you are. And, so we go to the VIP line and we're right up front
with Irene,
Rupert's Irene. And
my first time meeting her.
And with Sam. Oh yeah. You'd never met her in the flesh, had you? No. Okay. So Irene and Candy, I mean, obviously Irene is amazing. We love Irene Hoffman so much.
Fell in love a little more.
Yeah. Now we had 5 tickets and I'm not telling tales out of school here for sure. I've used that phrase way too many times in this podcast. I will think of another phrase. I promise. But we had 5 tickets. The 5th one was for Rupert. And here is just the loyalty of Rupert G. Rupert G wouldn't come see Colbert with us. And it's because he's so loyal to the Late Show. with David Letterman family. It's not a slight against Colbert. It's not anything like that.
No, in fact, he speaks very highly
of him. He does, absolutely. And Colbert has had him on. They've had a lot of people who have been on our message boards and things on the Facebook group saying, oh yeah, Rupert's never been on Colbert. Colbert should have had him on. Colbert has had him on. Colbert has had tried to have him on other times as well, where he has said he's hesitated and said no. And the main the reason for that is because Rupert G is one of the most loyal people you will ever meet. And his Late Show with David Letterman family are so important to him that if he was presented or went to Colbert and it upset even one person in that family, it would hurt his heart. And so he said, Irene, go with them. Absolutely. Have a great time. I'm going to abstain. I will meet you guys for dinner afterwards. This is a Rupert tribute episode. I love Rupert so much. We all do. You and Rupert bonding over food was one of my favorite times of this entire, and you did it often. You two bonded over food.
Food and martinis.
So anyway, we get there. We realize we're in the VIP seating. The VIP seating doesn't put you on the floor. It puts you up in the balcony. And they tell us that. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And in my head, I'm just like, oh, I know it's going to happen again. I'm going to do the Q&A. I'm going to talk to Steven. I'm going to talk to Steven about Dave. I called it outside, right?
You actually called it even, I think even before you thought we were going to be in the balcony. You kept saying something's going to happen.
Yeah. I did. I knew it.
I think you had nervous energy for a couple of days before we even left.
Yes. And when I have nervous energy, it usually means something's going to happen. It's weird to say it like that, but it's like the manifesting stuff.
Many times.
Yeah. Like I get this weird.
I used to doubt it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, after so many times, I was like, fine.
I just felt like something was going to happen. Not just at Rupert's event, but at Colbert. And very, very cool thing. So Steven, if you're watching, cause he might be,
we know.
Holy crap. There was an extraordinary moment that happened. So we went up in the balcony and and I got to tell you, there are some things about Late Show with Stephen Colbert that I appreciate that seems to have directly held over from Late Show with David Letterman. Number one is the band. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, we've been to talk shows and I'm not going to mention any names, but where, you know, the band plays out to the commercial and we're out.
And then
they start playing back in again. The one thing that we love so much about Paul Schaefer and the CBS Orchestra is that it was like a concert in there. Mm-hmm. That feeling has certainly translated
mm-hmm.
With the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And they are good. Oh, are they ever good?
My friend there on the cello, I could have watched her for hours.
Yeah. On the upright string bass or whatever it was. Okay, yeah, one, absolutely. Yeah. It was really, really cool. And so we go in there and Irene, of course, sitting with Irene was phenomenally interesting because she saw Late Show with David Letterman 47, 48 times, whatever it was. And she knows that theater kind of like the back of her hand. And she's looking around. She had never seen the dome before because Colbert's people opened up the dome again and all of that. And they changed it around. But it's still very much the Ed Sullivan Theater. Like it feels beautiful. Right. Even when I watch Colbert, it still feels like the Ed Sullivan Theater to me. And that feeling certainly translated. The warm-up guy was really good. He did very well. Like I would say that the audience coordinators, very good at what they did not prepare us in the same way was what when we were at Late Show. When we were at Late Show, they really, really did it. They hyped you up. They got you really excited. They did a great job getting us all in there, getting us organized, all of that. We were in the very front row of the balcony. And but Steven's warm-up guy, and I forget his name right now. I wish I got to get it and say it out there. Really, really good guy. Really funny. Really did a great job. Brought people out of the audience and had a lot of fun getting the audience interacting and going back and forth and preparing everybody.
Yeah.
Did a great job of that. And then he's like, and there's going to be a Q&A. And I just knew he was going to call on me. I just knew it. I tried very hard to make that happen. Steven came out, he bounded out and everyone was so happy to see him. Everyone got up. And as everyone, you know, clapping, as everyone was sitting down, I just was standing like this and I let everyone sit down around me. Steven looks up at me. He's like, okay, sit down. And he goes into some shtick and gets to know the audience a little bit. And then he says, does anybody have any questions? And I'm first up. And he laughed, right? He said, yeah.
He's like, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Which I could have gone either way.
Totally. He could have thought I was like, a crazy person. He still might think I'm a crazy person. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a crazy person. Just enthusiastic.
Yeah.
and knowledgeable. And it turns out I'm not the only one who thinks that. I said, hi, Steven. He goes, hi. He goes, hi. I said, how you doing? And he goes, are you really sure you want to waste that question? Because
you only get one.
And people laughed, of course. I'm like, hey, I'll amend. And I remember this part for sure. I remember saying, hi, Steven, my name is Mike Chisholm. I am the host of the Letterman podcast. And at this point, things start to get a little bit hazy because even though I thought something was going to happen, I knew I wanted to ask him a question about Dave, and I did. I didn't expect his answer.
Do you want me to fill this in? I thought I was going to have to catch you. And I also, if you've ever been to one of these tapings, you know, there is no cell phones. You can't try to sneak it out because you will get kicked out. And I mean, there's pages everywhere that would have caught me. I was like, oh man, if I could only get my phone out. But so Mike said that, and his immediate response in that moment was, oh, I know you. I've listened to your podcast. To which my husband starts to do this. And I'm like, pushing him back. He says, I listened to your podcast with Harvey.
Yeah, with Harvey Goldberg.
And he said, it was really good. You asked incredible questions. I was thoroughly entertained. And he said, and he goes, you know, he says, I thought I knew a lot about Letterman. You are a walking encyclopedia. That's before the question was asked.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, go ahead. What's your question? And Mike's just like, it was such a moment. We were awestruck. Yeah. We were dumbstruck. I thought Irene was going to come and glue.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know if any one of us were prepared for it. It's funny. Cause Harvey had told me that Steven had sent it to Steven and Steven liked it, but I mean,
you don't know the confirmation.
Yeah. And I mean, Harvey had a great time, and I love the interview with Harvey. Oh my God. Harvey Goldberg's so awesome.
Go back and listen.
Yeah. Go back and listen to Harvey Goldberg. You know, it's endorsed by Stephen Colbert. but you know, you just don't know. But when he said that, I was just like, oh, and then you guys reminded me, I forgot about this. I'm like, oh, well, we just did an episode with Dick Cabot. I know Dick and Stephen are friends. And that was a fantastic episode. I think we even mentioned Stephen a couple times on it. And so Steven was like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no way. Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. So my question for Steven. So I'm hoping that we can get him on here. I mean, he's the number one talk show host in America, and he loves talking about Letterman. If you haven't listened to Strike Force 5, please go and listen to them all, by the way. Strike Force 5 is fantastic. All of the current late night hosts raising funds for the writers while they're on strike. Fallon, Oliver, Kimmel, Colbert, and Seth Meyers. Yeah. And it's a fantastic episode. And in one of the episodes, they have Dave on. And like, Dave famously hasn't been back to Late Show or to the Late, it's called The Late Show now, with Stephen Colbert. He hasn't been to the Ed Sullivan Theater. And so in that, Stephen had a bunch of interactions with Dave, but two in particular that I thought were extremely brave. Because I know a lot of these guys are intimidated by Dave, and rightfully so, I think, for a certain degree. And so the first question, Dave kind of threw it out there and he said, okay, yeah, you guys have all been on my show. We're all on my show back in the day. And I think I've done all of your shows. Well, no, not you, John. John Oliver doesn't have guests. And Dave says, but Dave hasn't been on Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And so Stephen, this is my question for him. Were you nervous or were you afraid in asking Dave this question? Stephen goes, well, Dave, you haven't been on my show. Would you come back to the Ed Sullivan Theater? And, you know, is that weird for you? And Dave had a great answer for that. He said for a while it was, but now he's over that. And then, you know, and I don't know if Steve was sheepish in asking or not, if that took courage to ask that question. I know it certainly would have for me. But it was a really, in my opinion, it was a wow moment. And then later on, Steven told the story about how he got Late Show, which he has never told before. And he told it to Dave because he wanted Dave's perspective. And so I'm just sitting here like a little kid listening. Like, I just love it. And so I asked him about that. I asked him if he was scared. And he said he was. right?
He did, and then he went in on to tell a little bit about the story,
the backstory a little bit, yeah, like what I just did basically,
yeah,
and he told the audience about it,
and then he goes, you just are going to have to listen to his podcast and my podcast, our podcast, for all of this to make any sense to you all.
Yeah.
And that's when we were like, okay, that just got endorsed.
Thanks, man. And it's funny.
So I think that you can say this has been endorsed by Stephen Colbert.
Well, man, hey, at least it was to that, the 450 people in that night in the Ed Sullivan Theater. More on that in a second. But anyway, yeah. And then one time throughout the episode, he actually looked up and he did a thing to us. He was talking about the dome and looking up and all that. He gave us a little shout out, you know, coming back from a commercial, which was a really entertaining show. Bob Odenkirk was on there. I mean, I love Better Call Saul and of course Breaking Bad, but Mr. Show. And I mean, he talked a little bit about it, him and David Cross and some of the stuff that they were doing. And so anyway, it was I highly recommend, if you have the opportunity to go and see Late Show or The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, go see it. It was a lot of fun, and it was very little edits.
And I loved about it was, you know, it gives you an opportunity. Like Mike said, we've been to take Letterman out, but you know, we've been to other tapings and things like that. And one thing that I really loved about Colbert was you can tell the interaction he has with his staff.
Yes.
And I was thoroughly impressed because, you know, he seemingly to me, was, you know, he's very kind to his staff. And then later on, we actually got that confirmed by some of his staff that they really like working for him. And I just thought it was really cool, like, to watch that, because it just endears him to me that much more, makes me want to watch that much more, to know that he treats his staff well.
Yeah. Like his segment producer for the next segment that was after Bob, segment producer sitting on the couch, or no, it was a segment producer for Bob sitting there, and they were going back and forth while the commercial is happening. And it was just really neat. And it was watching him and his producer, Tom, going back and forth. That was really, really, it was fun. Highly recommend it. And so anyway, so that finishes, and our boy Tom, other Tom, not the producer, but our guy who used to work with Letterman, he gets us up on stage again.
Mm-hmm.
And how fun was that? Hey, like going up there, and we got our picture taken behind the desk again, but we got some really cool shots, like looking around the,
I think it was cool for Sam too, because we had Sam there. Yep. The photographer
and Irene, oh, she was so happy.
And everybody got their photos taken. Yeah. And I remember the first time we got our photos taken behind Dave's desk.
Yeah.
You know, that was a really, really big deal. And not that this wasn't, but it was fun to see it through somebody again.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Cause with Sam, she didn't have the attachment to Letterman that we have. And so she's just like, oh my God, looking at, you know, getting the opportunity to go back behind the desk and sit on the couch and all that kind of stuff and go on stage. And that was just so Tom, thank you so much for that.
Yes,
you really
you.
Gave us a lot of joy. And then after that, it was a matter of, and it was funny because that made us late for Rupert. Rupert was at a restaurant waiting for us.
Yeah.
But we had this little, tail end where we got to go on the stage of the Ed Sullivan Theater. But at that point there, it's time to eat. And we went to, we were going to go to an Irish pub that, if you hear anything right now, for some reason, even though we're late in the afternoon, tradespeople are working on our balcony upstairs, and I'm not sure what's going on, but anyway,
the timing is
impeccable. But if you're hearing something, it's not indigestion of any sort. It is tradespeople making our place safer or more beautiful. Yeah, there you go. Next time. Okay. Next time. It'll be our little shtick.
I'll never be.
And if the audience doesn't hear this because the microphones are that directional, then hey, we just messed up. But anyway, if you hear anything, that's what's going on. But yeah, Rupert was waiting for us at an Irish pub that he and Irene, it's like one of their spots. They have these little spots. They wanted to take us to one of them. Well, then we got there and it was Thursday night football and it was bedlam and there was only two servers and I don't even think they were serving food anymore. So we ended up going to
Serafina.
Very famous Italian restaurant in New York. We wanted to go to McGee's. It was funny. Rupert's like, oh, let's go to McGee's. I'm like, yes, let's go to McGee's with Rupert G. That's great. McGee's is the bar that all of the Late Show staff would go to after double taping shows. They would go to McGee's all the time. The bar that Craig and Carter, when they made How I Met Your Mother, was the bar that they made it after. And so Rupert's like, oh, it's this way. It's this way. He's just taking us, knows there. He's a New Yorker. We go there and it's closed. And we don't know how long it's been closed for, but there's paper on the walls. And it was very sad. And Rupert was even like, oh no. Like he was saddened by that. So good to see Rupert though. And then that's where he said, well, let's go to Serafina. Okay. And we got to just relax for a couple of hours. It was just Rupert, Irene, Candace, myself, and Sam. And we had cocktails, we had food, and it was an absolute lovely, lovely experience. You can speak to Serafina here in a minute, but the one thing that became painfully obvious was how much Rupert did not want to go to the party the next day. He was nervous and was like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to, I don't know what, like even to the point of what should I wear? And it was so funny. He's like, maybe I should wear a Late Show with David Letterman t-shirt. Yeah, you should definitely wear that. That'd be great. And then Irene's like, no cargo shorts. He's like, well, no, I'm going to wear my cargo shorts. Like it was so... Watching those two interact with each other is one of the funniest things. And like, it's so funny watching them interact. I had ketchup Pepe and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Serafina.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And I cannot go to New York without getting some sort of Italian food, which is a weakness for us. It's an entirely different experience when you go there, but yeah, just more on Rupert, like, I just, you know, and again, I don't know if I'm telling tales out of school.
Ah, look what you did.
But he is, again, you got to think he's so humble.
Yes.
That in his mind, I think he was just thinking like, why would anybody come? You know,
he did. He did express show surprise up? As to how many people showed up a couple of times. Yeah, yes.
So when we were talking about the party, we can talk about that after. But that I think was, and I get that. I have that sort of that. You know, that same type of personality. I'm like, well, what if nobody shows up? Yeah. What's going to happen? And, you know, so we had talked to him even that night, like, well, if nobody shows up, we just got a lot of food and drink to ourselves. Like, how great is that in the Ed Sullivan Theater? Like, yeah. We'll just have our own little party because, you know, we're coming.
Yeah.
But it was great. The restaurant was great. And yeah, we bonded over. They were making fun of me because of my drink choice, which is a dirty, 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 filthy martini.
Yeah.
So. He loved that. He referenced that about five or six more times.
A dirty martini is when you put olive juice in it with a lot of olives, right?
Yeah, it's like an olive salad with gin.
Right.
As the dressing.
Yes. Lovely, delicious. Lovely time. We had a really, really good time with them.
Yeah.
After dinner, it was Kate. Can't wait to see you tomorrow. It's going to be great. Going to have such a good time. We went back. Did we walk? Yeah, we walked around with Sam. We took Sam to Times Square at night. Yeah, lots of photos.
And collapsed into our bed.
And then, yeah, then it was a long day. Lots of travel, lots of
40 hours.
Now. Lots of uncertainty and lots of adrenaline with the Colbert experience, of course. And then we crashed. But it was so good to see them that night. That was like, if the day was a hurricane, that part was certainly the eye. That dinner was so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stop talking about how much I love Rupert.
It's just, if you know, one of the things that I've been working on myself, because I tend to rush through life, is I'm trying to take the moments and stay present inside of them, because you know, the world is so uncertain, and because it's easy to forget where the joy gets hidden. And you know, like, when knowing for me, for my type of personality, which is distinctly type A, it's like, let's go. Like, what's the next thing? How do we, you know, what do I hit next? Where are we going? And like, I could plan everything out, which is crazy anyways, because that never works out. But what I felt in that moment that night at Serafina's was, I remember taking it in and taking a deep breath and being like, this is epic.
Yeah.
You know, like, these are my friends.
Yeah.
This is my city. And I felt so much joy in that moment. Maybe it was a martini. I don't know. Might have had something to do with it, but the most of it. And I, you know, I just challenge you when you're going through your days to try to do that. Cause that's why it's a core memory now.
Yeah, absolutely. That night is a core memory for me as well. Like, Rupert was telling stories. Like, he was telling the story about when he went to bother the soup Nazi, you know, the in the Late Show bit, when he went and did that. He was telling stories about that he told the story about, you know, he told us a story about when he got the knife pulled on him, mm-hmm. you know, with, and Bill DeLace and all that stuff. He did tell, yeah, people ask him about that story a lot. I hope to get him on here where he can actually tell that story. Now that everything is kind of over and whatnot, I think that he and Irene will come on here and we can go through some of these specific stories. So send us, if you have questions for Rupert, send us some questions, but there's lots of stories there that haven't ever come out that we've just heard just in passing, just shooting the ball.
You have to put aside like 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm down with that, as you know.
Between the two of them.
yeah. Next day, again, walking around New York with a professional photographer. Really, really cool. Lots of pictures. Went down to Chelsea Market. Went to, we did a huge walking tour all the way downtown.
Well, she had one request because she's never been to New York, and that was to see the 9/11 memorial.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I still go there, and I mean, well, you tears were coming down your face almost immediately. If you haven't been to the 9/11 memorial down there, it's the footprints of the towers are now these fountains, in. You know, positioned. I don't know if it's identical exactly where they were, but it seems to be that the two World Trade Center buildings, the towers, have these unbelievable fountains that are in the exact location as to where each building was. And, you know, the fountains just flow downwards, and all of the names of the people, inscribed around them. And it's an extremely powerful place. And so mm-hmm. We went down there.
And I had never seen the Oculus.
Oculus is an amazing place.
Mm-hmm. That I think the last time I had been down to was probably like 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
Actually, no, because I did see the fountain. So maybe when we went.
No, we went in 15, but the Oculus, for whatever reason, we didn't.
Either we didn't come around or.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it was built in 2016, actually.
Oh, well,
now that I think about it, but it's really beautiful. Like I highly suggest that too. Like the way that it was built, it's to represent a dove leaving a child's hands is what it looks like. Incredible structure.
Yeah. It's a powerful place. Everything about it is powerful lots of energy. Yeah. So we had walked all the way from like Times Square all the way downtown through like, I guess it's the Village and then Soho and then the edge of Chinatown, Tribeca, and then there.
We had plans to take that little ferry around.
Yeah, we're going
to
take the ferry back.
We had to be back to Rupert's party by 5.
Yeah. So we went up to, this is the point now where you go to Rupert. We went to Century 21. I bought a jacket. I loved that because the day that I met Dave or I had my interaction with Dave on the show in the Q&A, we had bought a jacket that day from Century 21. It became kind of the focal point of the conversation with Dave. That was really cool. So I just thought it was neat. And if we found a jacket, I would buy it, which we did. Thank you for helping me pick that out.
Yeah.
Just like you did the first one. Yeah. And then we went to, the Ed Sullivan Theater. The party was supposed to start at 6. We were there for 5 because Sam was the photographer. And when we got there, there was still some things to help be set up. That was when we went to the deli back and forth, ferrying stuff in, drinks and all that kind of stuff, setting up. And I mean, boy, that's when you got assaulted with the thought and care that Walter put into this thing. They had a logo. Excuse me. I don't know if you hear that or not, but anyway. That was where you saw the logo of, kind of in the Oscar Mayer colors of goodbye, hello, Deli, and then the date in there. I'll try and put a picture up and show that. That's, you saw it on the screen, and the lobby of the Sullivan Theater was, tables were set up and it was decorated very, very nicely. And, started seeing some people, Barbara Gaines, which was, she and I had a nice moment. I'm a little less freaked out about her now. That was
yeah, cool. You didn't faint or
no
around her
or swoon. I didn't.
Yeah. Swoon. You spooned the first time you met her.
She
even noticed.
it was cool. It was really, really cool. As we got set up and things were going on, Walter came up to me and he said, okay, so here's how the speaking is going to go. And he had asked me, like I had said to him months ago or a long time ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever, if there are speeches, I'd be happy to put my name in. I think it was all I said, something like that. And he had said to me a few days before, hey, were you serious about wanting to say something about Rupert? And I was like, yeah, I would love to. Not knowing really what the event was knowing the venue and all that, but not knowing what the formal program was or anything like mm-hmm. that. And so he came up to me and goes, okay, so here's how it's going to go. I'm going to, you know, we're going to do a trivia contest. I'm going to say a couple things. I'm going to just hand it to you. And then you're going to bring up Tommy Rupprecht. And I'm like, okay. So I guess this is happening. And so that kind of put me on edge. When I was with Colbert, speaking at Colbert, I wasn't nervous. I mean, when he said that he saw the show or whatever, I guess that reacted, but I wasn't nervous. I was terrified to speak at this event because, okay, Mujibur and Sarajul showed up. Oh, that's amazing. Let's get pictures of Mujibur and Sarajul. But there's Rob Burnett.
Yeah, a lot of your heroes. Matt Rob.
Yeah, that's the thing. The audience, like when you talk about quote unquote outsiders, there was like six or seven of us. The rest of the group that was there, and if you look at the group shot, in the, you know, well, we can put up a picture of the group shot too, I guess. But if you look at the group shot, it was all Letterman people, and so these are all people that I would revere, aspire to yeah. to have on this show, so I can tribute them, and B, yeah, people that I just look up to, that I mm-hmm. feel completely 100% in awe of, and certainly. You know, not in the same league as, and so that hit hard, but I tried to push that away from me because there's Mike McEntee and we'd never met before. And I, oh my gosh, we started in, and the connections started happening. And I had a few people who had been on the show come up to me and give me hugs and stuff. That was great. A couple of people who liked the show. So all of the Letterman staffers, again, excuse me, all of the Letterman staffers, who I haven't met yet. And I haven't reached out to, please understand, I want to reach out to every single one of you. It just means I don't have the connection to you yet. I would like to have all of you on the show, whether you were an intern for 3 months, a writer for 13 weeks, all the way to people for the, I want to have every single one of you on here to be able to document your time and talk about some of the stories you have on the show. Because it didn't occur to me until a couple of people had come up to me and they kind of looked at me sort of sheepishly. And I'm like, hi, I'm Mike. And they introduced themselves. And then suddenly we're engrossed in this great conversation. Yeah. I want every single one of you. And if I haven't met you yet, it's only because of my daftness and that I haven't gotten your contact info or whatever. And I haven't been able to reach out. So please reach out back. I'm happy to talk to every single one of you. Because that's really what that next hour was, I guess. And what were you took my phone, which is, I'm really grateful for. There was a part of it where, like you said, no, I'll take some pictures of you and take some pictures of the event and all that. Don't worry about having your phone. And it was funny because there were some times when I was talking to somebody, I was like, oh, can I take a selfie with you? Like Darren Cox got his picture with everybody. And I was just like, but then I think it was right after I met Rob Burnett. I was really happy that I didn't have my phone with me because I had to be what you were talking about earlier. I had to be present mm-hmm. and just in that moment and not thinking about, you know, taking down someone's contact info or taking down, like getting a picture with them. I was so grateful to not have my phone for most of the evening because again, core memories. So that was the first part of the party in the next hour. And there was drinks and food. I didn't have a lick of food. I was way too freaked out. And nervous, but also just excited to talk to people, talking to Anton, like Anton, I can't wait to have him on the show. And if you haven't watched Anton's, staff favorite moments on the Letterman channel, go watch it. It's really, really good. One of the things that he talked about was there's a prop joke, and go watch it, go see what it is. It's funny. And it's funny because, that prop joke was given to his dad. And then his dad left it to him, and then he has given it to his son, and that prop joke is still in their family. And just little things like that, there were dozens of them with all sorts of different staffers, ones that the audience knows and ones that our audience hopefully will know. It was so cool, and I had so many – there wasn't one negative connection. There were a couple people who said, no, I'm not going to do your show. A couple people had said one or two that said, no, I'm not going to do your show, but I like your show. Very interesting. And then a couple of people who are like, yeah, I'm on the fence and one, and then a whole bunch of people who said, yes, like we're going to have guests for a long time. So that's my, and then the formal stuff started. So.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you. You let me do a lot of talking. Thank you for that.
Well, it's your show. Your show.
Much to the chagrin of the audience of the Letterman podcast that it's my show.
like, so my take on it was very different, obviously, because I was just there as an observer. And but it was cool because what was neat for me was there was no pressure on me with anything. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody cared really who I was, not in a bad way. Just, you know, I kind of got like a hey, like, because I could have been literally anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't know if I was the intern that was there for a week and didn't age well. Oh, I don't know. You know? Well, but you know, so it was you know, I've been in parties before where I don't know anybody and I've always felt maybe like a little bit of pressure. I felt no pressure this time, which was cool. But what I did get to do was just observe. And I was very proud of you in that time because I actually felt that, like, you know, from the beginning, from the conceptualization of this podcast and how you started it and where you've been with it or whatever, you know, I get snippets here and there and I watch and whatnot, but it was neat to see the validation, I think, that you got, whether you felt it or not. Like, I saw people, like, you know, I don't know if I should, but I'll say this, if you want to cut this out, you can, but like, I saw Barbara Gaines. So the first time you met Barbara Gaines was a year, and I only know these people by, like, I only know them because I hear the names. Like, I don't know them.
Yeah.
Was it exactly the year before when you had run into them at Hello Deli?
At the Hello Deli. She was at the Hello Deli.
And that's when Mike swooned and there was a joke about it. And she was sort of like, she kind of kept him at arm's length because he could be legitimately crazy. Oh. Like, at that time, that's what she, and I was about the same way. Somebody kind of came at me because, you know, it's not like she's a star and would be used to that necessarily, but you revere her as somebody,
yeah, she is, which is,
that's as much of a J-Lo to you as J-Lo would be.
I would much rather spend an hour with Barbara Gaines than I would with J-Lo.
There you go. So
absolutely.
So what was cool for me, because I saw that interaction happen 365 days prior, and then I saw her come, and I saw her actually come to you, like, come around you. She joined the conversations you were in.
Yes.
She came near you. As opposed to the first time where she didn't want to really come near you. To me, that felt very validating for me, for you, in terms of how I feel about you doing this, because I'm so proud of you. I got to watch your dreams come true.
Yeah.
Which is not often that a wife is able to watch a dream come true for a husband, I think. So that was an incredible moment for me. And yeah, it was neat to see. You were completely in your element. And while you may not have gotten as many selfies as Darren did, you know, like, and I loved watching Darren and Libby, like, Libby and I sort of hung out together. Libby's Darren's wife, amazing, amazing woman.
Yeah.
We got kind of hung out together because we were like the only two people that didn't know anybody. But I watched Darren so happy, but it was different. Right, like, he came at it from a different perspective because he's a fan of the show, which you are too, but then you also bringing this in, and I thought it was awesome because it gave that kind of those two perspectives between the two of you, and I was just really, really proud of you and how people gravitated towards you, not away from you. At least that's what I saw.
Well, I appreciate that very, very much. Thank you for saying that. It was amazing. It was awesome. Don Giller's gonna get so mad at me because I've used the word awesome so many times in this episode. I've had a lot of moments where if you would explain the scenario to 21-year-old Mike saying at some point in the future, this is going to happen, ... and you kind of describe, I probably had 20 of those that night. It was a really, really, but again,
and I got to meet Don's.
And you got to meet Don Giller. Finally.
Finally.
Yes. And Steve O'Donnell, for that matter.
Yeah. But Don, like, both of them I was wanting to. And but both of them didn't disappoint. And I loved both of them for different reasons. Yeah.
You know?
I love Don Giller.
I know. Me too. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was
and Steve O'Donnell too.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's the next, we'll talk about the next night with that, feature Steve a little bit more too. I was so happy that Steve O'Donnell came, and it occurred to me, oh yeah, I guess he would have known Rupert for sure too as well, but also the reunion part of it,
yeah,
that this thing was as well, Because he did spend a couple of years at Late Show, you know, and then it just it became a different thing, and it was time for paths to change a little bit. But I was so happy to see him. And then, of course, Steve Young, Joe Grossman. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Joe Grossman.
Okay, we can't say what he said, but.
No, he was funny. Okay. Joe Grossman said a few things that were so funny, and we're not going to repeat them here.
Loved him.
But, I mean, you talk about. You know, folks who know Joe Grossman or think that they know Joe Grossman, and they hope that they would meet him and he would be two things. Number one, deadpan. Number two, hilarious.
Both of those things.
Effortlessly, just by being him. Steve Young's the same way. Like, I mean, after the party, you know, we're outside the Ed Sullivan Theater, me and Darren and Andrew, who's an editor, and McEntee and Steve Young just shooting the bull for over an hour after we were all kicked out of the place. And I mean, Steve Young, effortlessly funny. Steve O'Donnell, same thing.
Steve O'Donnell still reminds me of Alan Alda.
Yeah, I know. That's what Candy said. She said that he's got an Alan Alda vibe to him. Which from me, I always think of Alan Alda as an extremely intelligent person.
And Steve O'Donnell
definitely fits that bill. But then you take the zany and the just thinking around corners clever. Oh my gosh, Steve O'Donnell is just effortlessly funny too. Yeah, and I think then we started the program started and most of the program is on the YouTube channel. So the YouTube channel starts with an intro from Dave, which was not at the party. Okay, so that's a different intro. That it goes into like a montage looking around at everybody congregating and talking and whatnot. Really, really good. Shot by Jay Johnson. Right on, Jay Johnson. I hope he's going to come on the show here soon. Jay, obviously, Walter's partner in crime from back in the day. Jay and Walter used to run together and
still do. Sounds like a fun show.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Jay and Walter, that should be a show.
Oh, from your lips to God's ears, my love. Yes, I would love to have both those guys on here. At the same time, would be great. And also, Jay Johnson, once again, the only person who worked for the original Late Night with David Letterman and works for Late Night with Seth Meyers right now. So I just think that is very, very cool. But anyway, Jay was shooting all that footage. That's the before. There's a montage of it on the Letterman channel. And then they got into the formal part of the evening. And the entire thing is there, except for Dave's video that was only for us. That wasn't there, but then he shot the intro. So there you go. Started with... a very nice presentation from the Colbert people to Rupert and May, which was fantastic. I thought it was really, really neat. The little trophies they got them, the sandwich for Rupert and the cup of coffee for May.
It's super cute.
So cute. And then at that point, I think Tommy and Walter said something. The trivia contest was next.
Oh, right.
My boy, Chris Shakai. Oh, I was happy to see him. I ran up to him and gave him a huge bear hug. He and I have such similar energy. We had such a good time when he came on this episode. And the day before, he sends me this message saying, "Hey, as long as the airline doesn't mess me over, I'm seeing you tomorrow night." And I was like, yeah. And he did the great job with the trivia contest.
Amazing.
A really, really good job. He is so good. It was cool. I watched him and Paul reunite. I watched from across the room. And that was awesome because Chris obviously worked for years and years and years with Paul and seeing them reunite.
Paul too. Like,
phenomenal.
You know, what's so cool about Paul is he came early. He associated with everybody. He came and he chatted and he ate and he drank. Like, he was there a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't just like show up, do his thing and then leave. Like, he was right in there, right involved. I was so thoroughly impressed with him.
And the song, I mean, we're getting to the end here, but the song that he did, co-written with Matt Roberts helped with the lyrics and they put it together. It's to the tune of Hello Dolly. Oh, Matt was amazing. And I'm going to get to Matt in a second. That Matt was another one that I was just like, oh,
we had
such a good, and it's funny. All the conversations were not long enough. You know, we talked for maybe 3-4 minutes and then suddenly he's being swept away by others and all of that. But just so good to see them. And I loved his episode so much. And a lot of people have complimented that one. It was great to see him and knowing that he and Paul came up with this song together to the tune of Hello Dolly, because the Hello Deli, right? That's the playoff there. And so, okay, let's do this tune to Goodbye Hello Deli to Hello Dolly. And the lyrics were really funny. And Paul just did an incredible job. And when I got my phone back, I looked at the pictures that Candy took, and there's this big, fat, beautiful selfie with her and Paul. And that was really cool to see that. That made my heart smile.
It's the only selfie I took.
That made my heart smile, though. That was really, really cool. And then, after the trivia contest. Oh, the hot dog. So Pam came out dressed as a hot dog. I have a little bit of information on that, but I don't want to. Okay, I'll say this. That's her hot dog costume. I thought that maybe it was a hot dog costume that was given to her at the end of the show. No, that's hers. That's hers. And she came out and threw t-shirts, and it was awesome. And it felt like a late night, late show or late night moment. The dancers with Paul. Yeah. But the hot dog went. And as soon as she was done, as soon as Pam was done with that, that was my turn. Mm-hmm. And I got to go up and I got to say some words to Rupert that I didn't lose it emotionally. I think I was too terrified. I think I was pretty coherent for the most part. It was one of the greatest honors ever. What took the fear away was talking about Rupert and May and how amazing they are. That part made it easy. I knew I was going to try for a joke. I knew it wasn't going to land. And so that's where the real kind of exposition of the joke happened, and I did get some laughs with that, which I was very, very, very pleased about.
They're on camera, so you
made a joke about Mujibar and Sarah Jewel. That one landed. Loved that. But really, I got to talk a little bit from my heart about Rupert and May and what they mean to us and how them sponsoring our show, what that meant. And one of the things that I didn't say, because it was just about the show, and I didn't want to, the fact that they gave me an opportunity to say, hi, I'm Mike Chisholm. I'm the host of the Letterman podcast in front of that group. I didn't want to take that for granted. But I will say this now, because it's the podcast, it's the show, we can actually talk about it here. Rupert gave us credibility in many, many regards. O'Donnell even said to us the next night at dinner, he even said, you know, Mike, that was the thing. Dan Kellison told me about you, but then I saw that Rupert sponsored it. And that's what gave me the confidence to be on the show. And I know that that's the case. And Rupert, I think, knew that was the case. When he found out that this show, it's a positive show. We don't want to talk about gossip, rumors. We don't want to go into the that
dirt.
Stuff. Yeah, no. We don't want to There's go no into salacious to. Stuff. That's not what it's about. This is a celebration of the greatest body of broadcasting work in history, that of David Letterman and Company. And when Rupert found that out, that's when he kind of offered that. Like, it wasn't me asking. It was kind of him offering it.
Well, and Irene brokering.
Well, with Irene, of course, it all started with Irene Hoffman. I mean, I was so happy with Irene that night. Irene had so many good moments. She got to see so many people she loved so much, and you see the picture of her and Rupert taken by Sam at the end of the montage, and it's this beautiful thing. But anyway, Rupert gave us credibility. I know that. Of course, I know that. And I will forever be grateful that he put his name and faith in this project. This project would not be what it is if it wasn't for Rupert G. And I cannot emphasize that enough, how grateful I am to
him.
And
he's staying a sponsor?
Yeah, well, the Hello Dash, as long as Hello Dash Deli is alive selling.
Well, then we better keep it alive.
But you know, hey, Worldwide Pants, maybe we need another sponsor. I'm just saying. If Worldwide Pants wants to sponsor the Letterman podcast, we'd be open to that too as a second one. And anyway, so saying the things that I said about Rupert, and there was three words that I used about him, and I, you know, that he and May are so kind, that they are so humble, and that they are so loyal. Mm-hmm. And I said that, and I looked at the audience and I said, these people love you. And I almost started to cry at that point because I know how much they love them. They've told me so many times. They've told you, mm-hmm. You've heard it too. They talk about it so much. They would never do anything to in any way besmirch. And some of the opportunities that Rupert has had to keep at arm's length, amazing opportunities that he has kept at arm's length and said no to out of straight up loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something that I got more of the backstory on, and it just endears him to me even more. I love him for that. Yeah. He's so clearly, there was nothing self propelling through there. Like it was an opportunity that he got, which was great. And yes, like no doubt about it, it helped, you know, steer and direct his the course of his life and his business.
Yep.
But he never, ever, in what I could deduce through many conversations, ever took that for granted.
Never.
For a second.
No, absolutely not.
He to this day, his gratefulness is bigger than his body.
Absolutely. And is like you say, his humblest and his loyalty. And I mean, Tommy Ruprecht had the best night of the night, the best line of the night, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they didn't even want to be part of the Meet the Neighbors segment. They were happy the fact that the Ed Sullivan Theater was now doing something and their business boomed because of it.
Yeah.
And they were happy just to accept that. Never mind what it would be. Yeah, they were just grateful. And Tommy Ruprecht said they were literally just minding their own business. Yeah. And that was the line of the night.
But I come around too, just to because we had said about how Rupert was nervous the night before when we were talking. That was another cool experience for me, was watching the people file in. Because at first, you know, everybody, I mean, I don't know, New York seems to be the same like everywhere else, where you don't show up on time because it's not cool. But it was also early, and they all have jobs and businesses, and the writers were back, and a lot of them are working on other shows. And so they were sort of filing in, and as I could see this like constant stream, and I would look over and I could see Rupert just in amazement. And it was a massively full room. There was no room to walk around.
No.
And I think, like, I'm like, I don't know anybody well enough to know, but like, I would suspect that that wouldn't happen all the time. Maybe not happen all the time. Like, that's how the testament to them.
Yeah. And I mean, I've heard from a whole pile of people who, oh, I wish I could have made it. I wish I could have made it. I wish I could have made it. There's an entire California contingent and other people from around the country too, wishing that they could have gone as well, because they just love him so much. Mm-hmm. And seeing that confirmation and the people hugging him. And I mean, like, another person, Rupert, the look on his face. He was so blessed. And we have a little video. Actually, I think I'm going to start the episode with it. So if you started this episode, you'll have seen the video that I'm talking about, where he just talks about, because we saw in the next 2 days too. So that evening ended. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. The next day, we went to the mansion in the Upper East Side, which we've talked about in a previous podcast, because we got to hang out with Steve and Lori. Steve and Lori weren't there, because obviously when Steve Weiner worked for Letterman, he was only on year one. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't know Rupert. But then Rupert and Irene came over to Steve and Lori's house, mm-hmm. to their apartment. And watching those people connect was mm-hmm. unbelievable. Because Irene talked to Steve about his stuff with Chuck Jones and Robert Klein and all the other stuff. That was really, really cool. And then Rupert and Steve's wife, Lori, they kind of grew up right around each other. And they had all these little connections with each other. And we had an amazing little social time there. And then we all walked to the mansion, where we connected with Darren Cox and his wife, mm-hmm. and the three Steves. Steve Weiner was there, of course, with us. Steve Young, Steve O'Donnell. And Rupert and Irene and you and me, and it was a fantastic, and Steve and Lori, of course, a fantastic time at the mansion.
Mm-hmm,
a great, great, great evening with all of these Letterman writers. I don't know if I've laughed that hard in that, like, Steve O'Donnell, and I'm not going to say it yet. He told me a joke about pro wrestling that is like, I cannot wait to say it. Like, I want to tell Dave, you should hear the line that Steve O'Donnell said to me. It is one of the funniest things. And I asked him for his permission. I said, can I use this joke? He's like, yes, absolutely. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
Just on a little bit on Steve and Laurie, I know we're kind of stretch for time, but they are they're the people that make New York home.
Absolutely.
And this is our second time going to their home, and they're so inviting and they're so kind. And I just love them.
I love them both.
To the moon. Like it's the best time.
See, I don't know which couple I like watching interact more, Irene and Rupert or Steve and Lori, but they both have this amazing...
They both should have their own shows. As they matter should. Fact, Steve was, he's like, are you plotting? And I'm like, this needs to be a show on so many levels. And I'm not even in show business, but I see the, like, they're both incredible in their own way. They both should have their own shows. If anybody's out there watching and they want to do a really cool show, it would be an amazing show.
Oh, it's just so funny to watch them, and they just the banter is just magical. It's lovely, and
they make us feel very much like family.
So yeah, having some time in their apartment, like, you know, that's what I want to go back and hang out with those guys for a night. I feel like we didn't get to see them nearly
enough. Me too.
You know,
next week.
Oh, next week, wouldn't that be great? Won't it be great when we go back again? And I hope it happens soon.
Well, that's what Lori's like, okay, so you'll be back in the spring. I'm like, oh
man. That's the hope.
That's the hope.
That's the hope, is that there's some reason that we are compelled to go back there. That would be great. And then the next morning, you, me, Rupert, Irene just went up for brunch at one of their favorite diners. And
three diners.
We did.
Three diners in New York.
Yeah. But this is one of their favorite diners to go to. You could tell it was only locals in there. The Flame. Yeah. It was all locals. Really, really good. A really, really great time and a great goodbye. I'm glad our goodbye was smaller, mm-hmm. you know. Sam had left already. Sam left the next day to go to England after the event. And so
after getting a tattoo in New York.
She did. She got a little tattoo in New York. Mm-hmm. It was, we love Sam so much. She was fantastic. But anyway, yeah, our goodbye with Rupert and Irene, it was just the four of us. By the way, Don Giller was supposed to come out to the mansion the night before and didn't, jammed on us. But boy, did we ever have fun with Don Giller. Yeah, we had so much fun with him. I just wanted to mention him one more time because didn't get a chance to go to the cave this time. But having him at the event was amazing. And having how many people pay attention to him and give him attention and give him gratefulness to him, that made me really, really happy.
Yeah, with the trivia contest, you have to watch that YouTube because it's on there. But Walter said, you know, if you're in the trivia contest, if your name is in the answer, you can't win this T-shirt. Or if your name is Don, you can't.
If your name is the Dons, you also can't. You're going to give them all. Hell, just take a shirt. And he throws him a shirt.
Yeah, that was cute. That was cute.
Walter was fantastic. Okay, that's the other thing. About that night, Walter was a phenomenal MC.
Yeah.
Oh, was he good. Charismatic. He was funny. He was. Yeah, but he was like his planning and all that stuff. And we love him. Because he is such a nice, nice, nice man. Him and Nancy both. Oh, can I talk about a real quick moment with Nancy? Do I have time to do that?
Yeah.
Do I? Okay. So I know, I'm sorry. Every episode that I can, I talk about this moment, right? So for those who listen to the audio, I'm putting up the picture again that I always put up. The Q&A with Dave. Okay. So that night, one of the greatest nights of my life, April 20th, I should say, 2015. I have my Q&A with Dave, right? And the picture and all that stuff, people, we always talk about that. In that moment, though, there was a time, I was being a brat, and that's why Dave was making fun of me to Paul. One of the questions I asked before we got into the jackets and the salmon of the thing, one of the questions I asked was, before the show is over, are you going to have Jay Leno or are you going to have Brian Williams on? And Dave, and it's funny because it made CNN that somebody in the audience asked that question. So the way Dave answered that was he said, hey, Nancy, can you come here for a second? And he brings out Nancy onto stage. And he says, are we going to have Jay or are we going to have Brian Williams? And she said something. The answer, I think, was we've reached out to Jay and I'm not sure about Brian. I think that was what the answer was. Now, up to this moment, the very end of the party, after everybody's being ushered out and I was about to go hang out on the sidewalk and hang out with those savages out there talking and laughing. I said, Nancy, can I bend your ear for 1 second? And she said, sure. I said, okay. And I told her that story and I said, I am 90% that it was you that Dave called out. And Nancy, of course, is Walter's wife and worked for the show for years and was behind the podium and all sorts of stuff. I would love to have her on the show. I don't know if she's ever going to do it, but I would love to. I'd love to talk to her about some stuff. But anyway, I said, I showed her the picture and I said, that night, was it you who came out? And she goes, Dave only asked me out for the Q&A once, maybe twice ever. And I said, that night would have been, she goes, yeah, that was me. And I just thought it was so cool. And I said, oh my gosh, take my family out of the equation. That is like one of the greatest moments of my entire life. And you were part of it. And I just had this little, thank you. Thank you for being part of that. Like, and I'm glad that it was like, there was a piece of that memory that was sort of fuzzy and she just kind of brushed it off and it now is clear. And that was really neat. That was a kind of a neat little breakthrough moment for me. I just loved it so much. So anyways, after breakfast with Rupert and Irene, that was it.
Off we went.
And the flight home, much smoother than the flight there. In fact, when we got back to the Calgary airport, as we got off the New York to Calgary, very simple flight, one flight, and then Calgary to Kelowna. I got a chance to, I asked one of the people, hey, is there a guest service person named Michelle here? And he said, yeah. And I said, awesome. We'd like to talk to her. And he goes, okay, well, what gate are you at? And we told him, she's on break right now. And I'm like, she's probably doing a little bit of, you know, making sure that I wasn't crazy. He said that he would send her over. Well, we go onto the plane and she's not sent over. And then suddenly Candy and I are getting situated in our seats and we look up and there's Michelle. She actually came onto the plane and said, hey, I hear you guys wanted to talk to me. I'm like, oh, Candace and I both hugged her. And then I showed her the picture of us behind Colbert's desk. And I just got to say, this gal went above and beyond. And because of her, a dream came true. And we got a chance to tell her that. That's just kind of the message there. If you have the opportunity to tell somebody you're grateful because they caused something to happen, they don't know it, tell them, because it was really, really gratifying to see the look on her face when that happened. That was really, really great. Yes?
Amazing.
Amazing. We need to stop now, right? Is that what that look is? She's not talking. And the look has changed. Oh, you have an appointment. All right. So yes, any last thoughts about our trip to New York, about Rupert and Irene, about
I can't wait for more. And like I said, that's just another home for us now.
Yeah.
And it's another family. It's our family. I am now fully inducted. I've been taken to that.
Into New York?
Into the Letterman world.
Oh, I'll take that.
That's it. I've been assimilated.
Right on.
To all my friends who once knew me before.
Resistance is futile, baby. Okay. thank you very much for taking time to be on this thing. And maybe I'll show the video of us at the Hello Deli saying goodbye to the Hello Deli to finish this thing off. That has been another episode of the Letterman Podcast with Mike Chisholm, and she is Candace Chisholm.
I am. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. And good night.
I don't know if I can do this in one take. A lot of emotion going on right now. Candy's got the camera. Say hi, Candy.
Hi, Candy.
There you go. We're about to go for brunch with Rupert and Irene. And we just had the retirement party for the Hello Deli a couple nights ago. And it is surreal. Planning for the party. There's my ride's here. There it is. Planning for that night, we went and raided the Hello Deli for the beverages for that night. Hold on, my ride's just gonna drive by. There it goes. I'll get the next one. It's okay. I'll get the next one. So the other night for the retirement party, we raided the Hello Deli for snacks and for beverages and all the remainder of what they had, and that's what we used for some of the beverages at the retirement party, which happened just around the corner of the Ed Sullivan Theater. And it got real. That we were unpacking with Rupert and May and everybody who was planning for this party. We were unpacking this sucker for the last time. Like, it is the end of an era. Looking in that window right there and seeing the shop empty. There's a couple t-shirts still hanging there, but the coffers are empty with everything. And I just wanna say how grateful I am for Rupert and May. On behalf of everybody who's in the audience who loved the Hello Deli's contribution to Late Show with David Letterman. And Rupert and May's contribution to the world, their kindness that so many people, tens of thousands of people over the last 30 years have gotten to experience. They've come to New York from all over the world and got a chance to have a New York experience. People go to Broadway shows, they go to Times Square, they go to all the different boroughs, they do that, but this is a special thing that a lot of people still cherish to this day. And on behalf of the audience, I just want to thank Rupert and May for opening this business. I want to thank them for not turning the Let's Meet the Neighbors cameras away when Dave and company started going in there. And I want to say thank you for this era. It's emotional because it was so good. This is the Letterman Podcast signing off from the Hello Deli for probably the very last time. In this era, no more to come. Thank you and good night.
Rupert, you just had your retirement. It's the end of the weekend. Mm-hmm. You're tired. You're exhausted.
Very tired.
A lot of trepidation going into it, nervousness, not knowing what it was going to be. But now that we've had this weekend, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. It was a wild ride, an amazing party that we had. Thank you, Walter and Nancy. And another
and
golden piece
else.
Of memory that I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
Well, we cherish you. On behalf of the Letterman enthusiast community, we love you so much. And it's not like when there's reunions and stuff like that, it's not like you're not going to be a part of them. But now you're also having a reunion talking about yesterday because your time at the deli is over. Congratulations on an amazing 3-decade-plus run. And we just wish you the best of luck on the next thing that you're going to do.
Thank you. And they shall forever.
There we go.
Overcoat and underpants.